Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Thursday, March 24th, 2022. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free through the tireless efforts of Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice on the website at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for almost 18 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships, and to turn any negative emotional state into part of the infallible guidance system that each and every one of us has been given. You can also download the actual worksheet process itself. It's absolutely free. It's a simple PDF file. Click on the link, download it, print it off, copy it, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland, Aramaic, Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon, which, if you tap on it, will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one where people have been either stepped through that worksheet process or given testimonials about how the use of that process is changing their lives for the better, or ask questions about, you know, deeper aspects of how this seemingly innocuous, simple tool can be so powerful. We hope people do that soon and often, any and all of those things, because it frequently leads to comments, questions, and testimonials. And if you have any of those to share with us, give us a call at 563-999-3581. When you call that number, press 1 and it'll put a little icon of a hand by your phone number, and I'll turn on your microphone and announce you by your area code. We had somebody do that yesterday and talk about various aspects of getting introduced to these tools and trying to use them in a way to release himself from negative thoughts, primarily, in his experience, blocking him from expressing his creativity. So I can use these tools, I think it was the day before yesterday, I gave an example of using the tools to start dismantling negative emotions that I generated when I received a text message from somebody. I have used these tools to generate negative emotions in response to life events, people coming and going from my life, people stealing money from me, people accusing me of doing something I didn't do. I've used these tools to dismantle the energies around old traumas that got resonated. When something that was occurring today and unfolding in my life somehow resulted in me throwing an interpretation on it that was connected to that old trauma energy. And when that stuff gets resonated, I feel it fully. And what we know in this work is I'm the one that creates my emotions. And if I understand the how and why of that process of creating emotions in a moment, and I have tools like the ones offered by Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice, I'm in a much better place to respond to life in a productive, loving, respectful way. And that my experience of life then gets crafted very differently than it was moments before when I was unconsciously creating my response to life events. So we're working through the Way of Mastery. And last Friday's show is a nice summary of the first five lessons if you want to get caught up if you've not been following along with us. But currently, we're in the Way of Mastery, page 72, near the bottom of the page. And we had just talked at the end of the show yesterday about how the wisdom in the Way of Mastery parallels a lot of other great spiritual teachings, and this piece of it is actually contained in the Reality Management Worksheet in the last step, in the seventh step, where it says, a principle of the universe is that by giving, I first get the original. And the Way of Mastery here, to back up a paragraph or two, says, how many of you have been taught to try to love, to try to do the right thing? Well, the problem is, the more you use the principles in this book, the exercises, the more you wake up to your true nature, when you choose to surrender and give up the game and give up the dream of trying to resist the truth that is true about you always, what is that? That you remain as your creator created you to be, that you are a conduit for the creative energy flowing into this world. When you give up every negative belief about yourself, that's what you become consciously aware of, and you will become a mere channel, a mere conduit for that energy. You will become no more somebody who is seeking, because you will have decided to have found. When you have surrendered the last vestige of an insane possibility, right? It's not possible to contract away from the truth of life. We can create the dream of contracting away from it, but we're always in the flow of life, and life is flowing in, through, as, and around us in each moment. So when we give up the last vestige of the insane possibility of contracting away from the truth, capital T truth, love will flow through you. And notice that if it flows through you, it must first flow to you. Therefore, seek always to receive the love, the creative energy, the flow of life, in order to give it. For what you can give another is only what you have already received. You cannot give somebody something you do not possess. How many of you have been taught to try to love, to try to do the right thing, the good thing? And yet, how many times have you gone within your secret chamber and said, oh, brother, I'm just not worthy? And then you wonder why your attempts to join in love with others never seem to be quite fulfilling enough. They never seem to fill the cup. They never quite seem to elicit the joy that you believe could be there. The text goes on to say, listen well. Your work, if that's what you wish to call it, is not to seek and find love. Your work is merely to turn within and discover every obstacle that you have created to its conscious, active presence in you. And then you offer that obstacle up to the great dissolver of dreams, the grace of the Holy Spirit. So it's not you who are going to remove all of the obstacles that you've created. It's not you who's going to think your way through the maze that you've created of the nightmare of thoughts of negativity and traumatic energies. It's not you who's going to think your way into an answer. They told us that right in the very first lesson. This way of the heart is not the way of the intellect. Your intellect isn't going to show you the way out. And your job is simply to use the intellect to start to notice all of the insanity that the intellect has created. And then put the intellect down. Don't use the intellect to try and dismantle that. Put the intellect down and offer this up to the great comforter, the Holy Spirit, the energy of creation, the one mind, the Christ mind. It doesn't matter what you call it. Your work, if you wish to call it that, is to merely turn within and discover every obstacle you have created to the conscious, active awareness of your presence in this world as a conduit of the creative energy, of this energy of love. And when you see those obstacles, that your family relations, your cultural conditioning, the glitches in your language, the trauma energies you've downloaded from past events in your life, when you see those obstacles, you don't put your nose to the grindstone and think harder and try to unravel them. You offer them up. You put the intellect aside. You cancel everything your conscious logical mind is trying to do and say and tell you that has to happen, and you ask to be shown. You offer it up to a higher integrated mind, the Holy Spirit, the great comforter, the Christ mind, the one mind, God, light, love, whoever you want to offer it up to, whatever you want to call it, it doesn't matter. What matters is you put your conscious logical mind aside every time you see, oh, look, I'm creating another mess with my thoughts here. And this mess I'm creating with my thoughts is leading me to believe I'm something less than the energy of creation expressing in form. Well, let me just offer that up. Let me just cancel every goal I have around that. Let me ask to be shown. Let me breathe and soften. The text goes on to say, I've said unto you many times that the greatest gifts you can give is this. The greatest gift is to come wholly and completely to the recognition that every attempt you've ever made to resist being the presence of the Christ mind in the world has utterly failed you. No matter how many times you've tried to convince yourself that you are unworthy, the universe yet again finds ways to extend its creative energy through you. No matter how many times you've tried to lock yourself into the space and volume of a body and pretend that's all you are, it has never succeeded. And every time you've dropped the body, you've remembered and been confronted with the radiance of your unlimitedness. And here comes that line. I spent some time on it yesterday at the end of the show. Therefore, the greatest of gifts that you can give to another is to be one someone who has rescinded the need to insist on the insanity of fear. I'm not going to insist that fear live in my mind. I'm not going to identify with the fears that come up. I'm not going to let them drive my choices. I'm going to recognize the fear that comes up as an obstacle to my conscious, active presence as the energy of love. And I'm going to give up clinging. I'm going to give up the intellectual grind of trying to justify why I'm afraid and to justify why I should do all of these behaviors that fear will tell me to do. Guy Finley says, listen, this is so important. Fear will never tell you how to get rid of fear. The only thing the fear in your mind will ever tell you to do is what to think and say and do so that fear can run your life another day. Think about it. You're out exploring and you stumble into a cave and you take a few twists and turns in the cave and you stumble across a hungry lion. And you say to the lion, oh, excuse me, I took a wrong turn. I really shouldn't be here. Can you show me the way out? That lion is never going to show you the way out. The tricks of the mind that trap us, that lead us to believe we're less than love, they will never show us the way to love. They will never show us how to remove the obstacles. Conscious, active awareness of our presence in life as the energy of creation expressing in form. The way Dr. Michael Rice talks about it is total, perfect, conscious, active, present love. You are always total, perfect, active, present love. That's your nature. That's what this book and all these great spiritual teachings are trying to get us to wake up to. You are the extension of the creative energy in form. If there is to be a purpose that you can state in words for your existence, it would be simply actively, operationally defined as you're extending the creative energy in form. That's your purpose. It's your purpose, it's your nature, it's your existence. You are not taught to be conscious of it. So in this phrase that Dr. Michael Rice puts out, total, perfect, conscious, active, present love, the only thing that's frequently missing from human awareness in our lives, from that phrase, is the conscious part of it. You cannot be anything other than total, perfect, active, present love. That's what this book just said. Every attempt you've ever made to dream a dream of separation, to dream that you're unworthy, to dream that you're something other than the Christ mind expressing in form, every attempt you've ever made has failed you miserably and utterly because you remain as you were created to be. You are the extension of love and form. This is the truth that is true always that this book keeps coming back to, the truth that is true always. The truth that is true always is that you remain as your creator created you to be. So you want to give somebody a gift? Give them the gift of you choosing to be someone who recognizes the insanity of fear and move consciously and actively into your awareness of your presence and their presence as the extension of love in form. Top of page 73, moving on with this text, lesson 6 in the Way of Mastery. It says, the primary characteristic of mastery. The text reads, fearlessness is the primary characteristic of mastery. Mastery is not having great power to make things happen. It is only the recognition that what is true always. And there is no other choice. Free will does not mean that you have the right to believe that you can succeed at being something other than what God created you to be. Having free will does not mean that you can elect not to take the only curriculum that life is offering to you in every moment. Free will means only that you do have the right to put it off yet another day. And each time you put it off, you slumber and you suffer in your slumbering. Guy Finley has a saying in one of his talks. He says, there is an unseen cosmic curriculum. And the only purpose of the curriculum is to educate the soul who engages that curriculum, educate the soul to the awareness of the presence of the mind, of the power, of the love that created the curriculum. There is an unseen cosmic curriculum whose only purpose is to help the people who engage it, who enter that school, who willfully participate in the lessons, to educate them to the presence of life and love and their being an extension of it in the world. So many of these teachings overlap and say exactly the same thing, or just almost exactly the same words to say the same concept. Again, I've pointed out various things from Albert Einstein and Rilke the poet and David White and Guy Finley and Michael Rice, as we're reading these words that are saying almost exactly the same thing. And I've said, I'm pretty sure if you went and interviewed Guy Finley, that he's never encountered the book, The Way of Mastery. And if he knows of it, he probably hasn't read it or studied it. But the core of the truths, capital T truths, that are coming out in these great books is the same. Everything that really works is just like everything else that really works. The truth of life is just the truth of life. It's like what Dr. Michael Rice talks about, the laws of living. He talks about the universal laws, the natural laws, the divine laws. We don't ever break a divine law. Laws are not breakable. Rules are breakable. Ordinances that towns and cities and states and nations make up, those are something you can break, and if you violate them, then they can impose a punishment on you. But a law is simply a description of how things actually work. And the fact of the matter is you've got free will, but only in this realm of how long you choose to put off the life lessons or run away from or blame on something else, the life lessons that will teach you that you remain as you were created to be, that you are part of the extension of the creative energy expressing in form. Having free will does not mean that you can elect to give up or not take this curriculum, the only curriculum life is offering you in every moment. Free will means I can put off taking it another day. But eventually I'm going to have to wake up to it because that's all there is. It's the truth of life. And each time I put it off, I slumber in my suffering. I'm creating pain and suffering. I'm creating the dream of separation. I'm creating the experience of being out of the flow of life when it's never happened. And I'm creating all of the negative emotions and the upset and the frustration and the resentment and the hurt that goes along with it. And I'm asleep to the fact that I'm the one creating it. The text goes on to say, but when you elect to take the only curriculum that matters, when you elect to use the power of your free will, and you say the following, quote, now, from this moment on, I will no longer tolerate error in myself. No more games, no more dreams. I am committed to being only the presence of love. For that is the truth of who I am. Close quotes. And when you decide to do that, it doesn't matter what others say. Right? It matters not the opinions of others who are not yet choosing that decision. And when you choose that, then indeed all things under heaven and earth move to support you and to guide you to the right person, the right place, the right book, the right sunrise, the right meadow, in order to assist you in dropping the shackles of the obstacles to the presence of love that you have created as an idol and a substitute for love. What's more important than your awareness of your true nature as love in your life right now? Think about it. What is it that you value above all else? The perfect ripe apple, your car, your fantastic stereo, your jewelry, your body, the sex you have with your partner, the way you have status so that everybody in your workplace answers to you and does everything you want. Just this, the curriculum of life is asking us to take a look at what are these idols that we have created as an obstacle to seeing that the only relationship that has any value in our lives is our relationship with our Creator. That was a line from a previous lesson. And here they're saying it again in a slightly different way. When you choose to take 100% responsibility for your experience of life and how to wake up to how your thought errors distract you from the awareness of your true nature as total, perfect, conscious, active, present love, and you say, I am not going to tolerate those errors in thought anymore. I'm going to identify them and offer them up to Holy Spirit. I'm going to stop all the games. I'm going to stop all the dreams of separation. I'm committed to being awake and aware to the truth that my true nature is the presence of love extending in form. And then when that happens, everything under heaven and earth will move to support you. They will guide you to the right person, the right place, the right book, the right sunrise, and the right meadow in order to assist you in dropping the shackles. What shackles? All these obstacles to the presence of love that you've created and you're holding on into in your mind and you're identified to within your mind, and you idolize them because you've been trained to idolize them. You've been trained to think this is what success means. You've been trained to believe this is important and that's not important. You've been trained to focus on things other than the presence of love or life or the creative energy giving you your existence and pouring forth from you in each moment. You've been distracted from that. The text goes on to say, that is why when you truly pray from the depth of your soul, Creator, creation, light, life, bring me home. When you do that, you may rest assured that from the moment, that moment on, it's perfectly okay to trust every little thing that unfolds. The car accident that happens, the getting fired from the job that happens, the person that you thought you were going to spend the rest of your life with tells you, I never loved you, I'm leaving, I'm having an affair with somebody else. Anything that unfolds after that is perfectly okay to trust. It's going to be there for you. It's not happening to you. It's safe and beneficial to use the lens that says, this is happening as life unfolding for me. I don't know how. I can't make sense of it the way I was trained in my culture. I can't make sense of it the way my family believed in things. I'm just going to be in awareness that life is unfolding and I can use it to learn the lessons of this cosmic curriculum so that in the next present moment, I can choose to be only love. The text goes on to say, for even though you don't see it, what you call angels, these are friends that simply do not have bodies, they're rushing about because you've given the command. Here's a quote. Yes, I accept your presence in my life. I turn the whole thing over. Now, each moment is dedicated to healing and awakening the illusory sense of separation from the rest of creation that I once created in error. The book asks, in how many ways have you sought for love? Can you even count the ways? Would you dare to try to count each little pebble of sand on the beaches of your planet? Each and every soul has already tried to seek out love in that many ways, if not more. You have sought it in a million forms in which you already knew that you could not find it, all because you wanted to perpetrate the insane attempt to try to separate yourself from the rest of creation. And that is as futile as a sunbeam trying to separate itself from the sun. Indeed, beloved friends, there is only one question you need to answer. Here's that question. Quote, what am I choosing in this moment? What have I given mastery over my life unto? What perception, what thought, what feeling have I given mastery over to? Feeling merely flows from the thought or perception you have chosen. What behavior, what action am I choosing in this moment? And does it express the reality of my being? Is it coming from my awareness of my true nature and what is true always? Am I being busy extending love? Or am I busying myself fearfully trying to grasp at what I think can give me love so that I don't lose it? The book asks us to please look well upon your parents, your siblings, your mates, and your friends. Not one of them, it repeats, not one of them holds the power to bring love to you. So, what are you trying to get from them? Why do you ever insist that another person ought to be conformed to what you believe you need? It is futile. 100% absolutely, positively futile to seek for love in relationship with anyone or anything. So this is absolutely true. There is no other way to experience this in truth except to dream an illusion. It is futile, 100% absolutely positively futile to seek for love in relationship with anything or anyone. Full stop. It is, however, quite appropriate to extend love, this energy of creation that you're made of, that's giving rise to everything you see and everyone you're interacting with. Extend that love in each relationship with everyone and everything. However, the extension of that love requires that you have awakened to the truth that the only relationship that holds any value is the relationship between you as the soul and the heart of creation, which has given rise to you. The book says, imagine a light bulb in one of your fixtures that looks out from its little filaments and says, well, I hope the person that just walked in the door is the right one. If I could just reach out and grab them, maybe my own light would come on. Is it not a lot simpler to simply take the cord and plug it into the right socket? How many times are you going to insist on trying to plug your cord into the wrong socket? Well, that one didn't work. I'll try this body. I'll try this person. I'll try this career. Not getting much juice from that one either. And then you get angry because it's not giving you enough juice. Or it gave you the right juice yesterday, but not today. So it must be its fault. There is just one little tiny socket into which you can plug your cord. It is the only one that your cord fits in, and it's the only socket wired to bring you the flowing and living waters of grace. That socket dwells within your heart. Not your physical heart, but that which is symbolized by the physical heart, the core of your being. But how many times in each day do you check to see that the cord is still plugged in? How many times do you remember to ask yourself, is my commitment to love or is my commitment to fear? Fear is the act of disconnecting your cord from the only socket that can truly satisfy you. And then you start running about trying to plug your cord into somebody else's or something else's socket, getting the juice you need to feel the love that you think that you have to get from outside of you. I would ask you to consider this one question. As you look upon the whole of your experience, has it ever worked? Can it ever work? Imagine trying to hold flowing water in the palm of your hand by squeezing your fingers together. How much are you left with? Does it not just run through the fingers, no matter how hard you try? It finds the little holes and it flows away. You open your hand and there's not enough left over to wet your tongue. Yet, each time you've looked upon another person, whether a parent or a sibling or a friend or a mate or a teacher or whatever physical person or object, and you've tried to plug into that socket to get the juice you believe you need, that is just what you're doing, like squeezing your hand around flowing water. And you literally end up squeezing the life out of the relationship itself. When you seek first the kingdom and you plug that cord into the socket within your own heart, when you remember that you and your father and mother are one, that only the love, the creative energy is real, and nothing else matters. When you remember that the temptation to find love outside of yourself, higher S self, capital S self, is nothing more than the echo of an old habit. And that habit cannot live unless you feed it. Therefore, feed the only habit that matters, the habit of remembering that the capital T truth is true always, regardless of what is passing before your physical eyes and before your mind. In all comings and goings, in all births and deaths, in all rising and passing away of universe after universe after universe, in the midst of a flat tire or a sudden rainstorm, nothing holds value except your relationship with your Creator. When you have experienced in relationship with anyone or anything a moment of bliss, a moment of peace that forever passes all understanding, a moment of fulfillment so sweet and so sublime that no word could touch it, much less express it, what you have experienced is only the flow of the love of creation through you. That person you were with did not cause it. It was caused because for just a moment, you stepped out of your drama. You stepped out of your dream, and you allowed capital T truth to be lived and experienced energetically, fully in the presence moment. Then, of course, you tricked yourself into believing, God, that was so sweet. That was the best thing I've ever tasted. It must have come from you. Get over here. I need you. If you ever believe anything or anyone is needed by you to feel that love, that bliss, that connection, rest assured in that moment you are living in delusion. Because as this lesson says, love heals all things, and the next segment heading in this book is, all you need is love. All you need is the conscious, active awareness of that which is giving you your existence. All you need is what we've mentioned several times in this book, Michael Rice calls it conscious, active, present love. Total, perfect, conscious, active, present love. And questioning, what do I truly want? Questioning, how am I creating a belief that I'm not worthy? How am I choosing to judge the flow of life as bad or wrong? Waking up to each of the obstacles I am creating with my thought in this dream of separation. And as I wake up to them, I identify them as a trauma energy, as a negative thought, as a recurring negative pattern. I wake up to it, and I catch myself trying to figure out how to get rid of it. And then in that moment, I cancel. I cancel my own thought process. I cancel the need to be right. I cancel my need for anyone or anything to change, including myself. And I ask to be shown. I'm offering this dilemma, this stuckness, this frustration, this pain, this fear, this sadness. I'm offering it up to who or what, it doesn't matter. Use whatever word you want. What matters is that I stop pouring my mind energy into the intellectual processes that have been trained into me, as this book says in an earlier message, the trivialities that have been stuffed into my intellect. I recognize that that's what's got me stuck, that that's the actual obstacle to my conscious awareness of my true nature as love. And so I give up trying to fix it with my intellect, and I offer it up. I ask to be shown. You could say in this book, they just, in this lesson a little bit earlier, it mentioned, offer it up to Holy Spirit, the great comforter. But I'll say it again and again. The name, the word you use is not important. What's important is the recognition that it's my conscious logical thought processes that are blocking me from the greatest gift I could ever have or give to another, which is the ability to see the truth that is true always, that everyone I interact with is the presence of love extending in form, and that's my true nature as well. So that's where I'm going to stop reading for lesson 6 for today. And I welcome your comments, your questions, change of topics, answers, 563-999-4945. 1-800-999-3581. What's on your mind? How shall we spend the next 13 or 14 minutes until Michael and Jeannie Rice arrive on the scene? Today is a Thursday, so there will be a support group tonight that's available through Zoom from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central. I have no idea what we'll do, but we have always all kinds of options. We might start watching or listening to the Condor Flies to the Eagle, which is a Mayan calendar video. It's about a three-hour lecture that has lots of good concepts in it about time and the evolution of our consciousness and awareness. Or we could watch another Guy Finley talk, or we can have people do worksheets like happened in our Tuesday group, or we can take comments and questions like we did yesterday on the show. All the information you need to join us or send that information along to somebody else who might want to join us is available on mindshiftersacademy.org website. I have been working a little bit here and there to try and get caught up with posting the first hour of these Mindshifter radio shows to that website. Please let me know if there's one missing that you would like to have, or if there are glitches. I tried to access it earlier today through a mobile device and it gave me an error message, so I will continue to look at that and see if there is a problem with that website's mobile platform. If you experience that, please let me know. You can call in at 563-999-3581, or you can send me an email at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. So, what's on your mind? What's a comment? What's a question? What's an answer? Area code 541. I'm turning on your microphone. Is this Celinda?
Oh, yes, it is. Good morning.
Welcome.
You're not in mourning. I am. Anyway.
I'm still in mourning. I'm still in mourning.
Are you?
Oh, yeah,
good,
I'm so
good.
Sad. No, it's M-O-R-N-E.
No,
forget the U.
I picked that up immediately. Actually, that was very appropriate. My husband Larry and I are studying Spanish through Duolingo and refreshing what little Spanish we knew. And then I just happened to notice once again that the Spanish culture and language has a very different way of saying I am fearful or I am in fear. They say I have fear, or I have hunger, or I have whatever. And I always thought before, well, why do they say it this way? And suddenly this morning I realized that when Michael talks about identifying with something or downloading something, that's the equivalent of the English language saying, I am hungry, I am afraid, I am angry. And I went, oh, wouldn't it be much easier for me if I were to conceive of I have fear or I have sadness to simply drop it, like the Sedona method mentions, or...
Absolutely. And you can, you know, listen to some TED Talks by Lera Boroditsky, LeraBorod, as in dog, ITSKY. And she talks about how language shapes thought and the way we think. And that's exactly the kind of thing she comes at in from a variety of different angles in her talks. So you're right on it.
And
what we do with our language, and Michael Rice likes to talk about regulatory speech, because what we do with our language can reveal to us what we're thinking in our unconscious. It also programs and reinforces what we believe in our unconscious.
Could you repeat that lady's name one more time, or gentleman, whoever it is?
It's a woman, L-E-R-A is
okay.
Her first name. Boroditsky, B-O-R-O, D as in dog, I-T-S-K-Y. And you can find her
great.
Quite easily if you just go to YouTube and type in B-O-R-O-D, et cetera. It starts popping up.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. Thank you so much. Yes. That's all I had to say. It just hit me between the eyeballs. Maybe
well,
that's
tapping
my
into something
frontal.
That's very powerful. And it's been known in Michael's teachings, and it's been known in, you know, the Course in Miracles and Way of Mastery. What we're doing with our language is either reinforcing or dismantling the false beliefs, the illusions, the separations, etc. And we can use the language to our advantage, right? It can use the intellect for the purpose of seeing the craziness of the intellect, but we cannot use the intellect to undo it.
Perfect. And I can see why that would be an advantage to learning multiple languages, because you cannot help but be immersed in the culture when you are immersed in the language. And so what's nice is I said that it was like I was hit between the eyeballs, and it's sort of like actually what happened was it got to me in the frontal lobe, and maybe that's the brain cells are popping in there that I'm not aware of. I hope so. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, and Michael has it woven into the reality management worksheet where he says right here at the beginning, let's get clear about this. Who are you? You are love, right? I, Tim, who am love, this energy of creation expressing in form. I am experiencing these other energies that we call emotions. So it's woven right there, this very thing that you're clicking into. I, Tim, am having this energy, but I am not this energy. I am not limited by it. It's just an experience I'm having. And when I tap into that more and more, the awareness grows and the impact on me, what I'm creating as an experience, shifts dramatically.
Right. Okay. Well, this is all helping me to see the worksheets in a different perspective. It's like the twist of my little kaleidoscope, because I've always before come to them with tension and pressure. And so this sounds a lot more playful, Dr. Tim.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. Anything else?
I believe that's it at the moment. Thank you.
All right. Just wanted to share that. I appreciate it. I will mute you and let you listen in. Area code 760, you're in the air. Who do we have?
Hey, this is Ann in Florida, Dr. Tim. And I just wanted to give a shout out to Belinda. Belinda, I'm wondering if you've ever written a book or written poems or something, because you have an awesome way of using our language. Like when you just said something about the kaleidoscope, you know, I immediately thought of it when I was a child, but the way that you put it into the sentence was just amazing. Anyway, kudos if you are writing something, because that's really cool. Anyway, so Dr. Tim, the question I have is, I find myself just grinning, just smiling so much as you're going through some of this way of the heart, and because my spirit will just give me an example of, hey, you know, just yesterday or a few minutes ago, you actually, you know, did something like that and improved what's being said. And it's like, so do you think, like, when we smile, that is resonating love within us, that we're in that moment? What do you think?
Well, I don't know. What's your experience? When you smile, is it resonating love within you?
It seems to feel like it. It's like I'm connected to whatever is being said that's a positive experience. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then that's your experience. And don't let anybody tell you different. And wake up to the fact that that you're asking somebody outside of you whether or not it's valid. And that's silly. Oh. That's part of our training, right? That's part of our, oh, I better find out if Dr. Tim thinks this is right. And that's just silly.
I agree. Okay. Good job. Good job. Yes. All right.
If it feels good to you, explore it.
Yeah. Okay. So that helps. So that's then improving my thoughts of I don't need somebody else to tell me, you know, how this is working for me. I just need to experience it, which goes back to dismantling the years of I needed somebody else's comment or I took in the negative stuff because I needed their feedback, but the feedback wasn't so great. So now I'm changing to where, oh, I experienced it myself. Oh, well, that's okay. I mean, so now I can laugh with you. I can love the word silly when you use it. So. but thank you for that reflection. You're always great with that.
Yeah, you know, that's what the first few lessons are trying to tell us in this. Be in play several times in the first two lessons alone.
Mm-hmm.
Let not seriousness enter the mind. We're going to tell you that love is a poison, or that judgment is a poison, and judgment is the opposite of forgiveness, and judgment takes you to the opposite side of the universe from where you really want to be. And don't let seriousness enter your mind. Don't beat yourself up over this. Don't get harsh on yourself mm-hmm. about it. Just allow. Just get playful. Sing, dance. Have joy, have playfulness,
yes.
and that's the way to move closer and closer to the conscious awareness of the total, perfect, active, present love that you are, that your Creator created you to be, as it says so often in this work, that what is true always. What's that? You remain as you were created to be. What's that? The extension of the creative energy expressing in form.
Yes, absolutely.
And you can't get deadly serious about that and still be in touch with it. Because, you know, at one and the same time, life is this movement, expansion, and expression, and joyful. And it's the most powerful force in the universe. But don't get too serious about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
All right.
Blessings.
You're entirely welcome and deserving. Thank you for the call. I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. And I will turn on the microphone to welcome Jeannie Rice. There's a heads up that you're being unmuted.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Have
Can
a wonderful show.
Thanks. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. And apologies for being a little slow here. Today is Thursday, March the 24th, 2022. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And I will invite you to go to the website, whyagain.org, and click on the start here or the scroll down and click on the bullseye, either one of those. They'll take you to a page of how you can get started with this work if you're not familiar with it. And let me click that. Okay. So we'll give Michael just a moment to get dialed in. And there are a few changes being made to the website, so be sure to, you know, click around, and if you find something that's not working, like I've said before, please let me know. And let's see, Michael just sent me a note, so I will remind everybody that at 4:30 Eastern time today that we will be having the book club meeting, and it's a global book club. I'll get that out in a minute. And you can find, if you go to our schedule or go down to events, either one, you'll find all the information. You'll find the Zoom link, the meeting ID, and the code, passcode, so that you can get in. This is a lady named Yinka Banto, and she started, it's called Hear My Voice Book Club. And it actually ends up being almost like a workshop. It's not just, you know, a bunch of people getting together reading the book, but they are working on Why Is This Happening to Me Again. And at 4:30 today, Michael's actually going to be going through the forgiveness process, the worksheet. And then next Thursday, we will be doing, so it's today, the 24th, and then next Thursday, the 31st, we will be doing questions and answers. And they break out into small groups. There's lots of discussion. And so join us for that. It's really exciting that this group, and it is global. There's people from just about every country that's participating in it. And so join us on that. I'll also put the link in notes for today so that you'll be able to get it there as well. Well, excuse me, I've got hiccups. Thank you for continuing to lift us up when we're working with Dad. He's still not made progress to walking yet, but I like the facility that we have him in now, and he's in a memory care. They only have 19 patients, and so he's getting pretty good personal attention. He's having a few physical issues going on, so continue to hold us there that they get that worked out. And we appreciate you. And this show is, you know, Michael usually does a monologue at the beginning of it, but then it's for questions and for answers and comments. And so if you would press 1, it puts a hand up. I'll introduce you by your area code. And it'll make it your show instead of our show. And that's what this is all about. And we'd like to be here to support you in that. So Michael's still not on yet. We'll give him just a few more minutes. And again, our calling number is 563-999-3581. And press 1. Or if you're in the chat room, you can ask questions there, and I will read your question to Michael, and he'll address that. Also, in our, there is a section, and we've said this before, but no matter what page you're on in the app, you can ask a question. So if, you know, you're working on a worksheet and it's like, I don't understand this step or whatever, you can ask your question right there. And so we would love to hear from you. And what we do there is I get an email with your question, and we'll ask it on the show, and Michael will address it. And then because it requires you to give me an email address when you ask a question, then I will email you back and let you know what day and time we addressed your question. So that is something that's just been out there for 2-3 months, and we've had several use that. So put that to work in your life. And welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear.
Hello,
my phone just skipped. My phone just skipped screen, so I had to flip around to get to my mute button. So welcome, everybody. Delighted that you're here. We get to do this again. How cool is that? What are we getting to do again? Well, we're not getting to do the Why Is This Happening to Me Again as in the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again, but we're getting to enter into this conversation about healing, about safety. You know, if you've been in one of our intensives for the last 4.5, 5 decades, you might remember the opening of each intensive. And we talk about the reason why people don't deal with their internalized trauma is because when that trauma originally occurred, they haven't felt safe. And that a big part of the intensive process is creating a safe space for parts of the mind to open up, to be reconnected to parts of the mind, to experiences that perhaps were traumatic. And so safety becomes a big factor. And truth is also another big piece of the puzzle. So many people live in blockage of truth. And here's what blockage of truth looks like. You'll remember that perception is a construct of the mind. It is a selection of a maximum of 9 bits of data out of 10,000 brain cells firing, according to some Harvard research, actually the most quoted research in psychological history. They hook somebody up to electrodes to measure brain cell firings, and they find there are approximately 10,000 units of electrical activity happening in the brain. And in that same time frame, which is about a 25th of a second, the construct that the mind shows us, the image, the information, the sensations the mind shows us, constitute 9 bits of data. I should say more properly, are constituted of 9 bits of data. A minuscule, minuscule amount. And so when you realize that your perceptual constructs follow your language, then you realize that every construct is nothing but a reflection of content, a language interacting with what happens in the actual world. So let's say a particular event elicits a response from me of anger, and I choose to live in denial in the pretense that something else is the cause of my anger. So I say to you, you made me angry, or that made me angry, or they made me angry, or what he did made me angry, what he did made me afraid, what she did made me sad. The mind then has to construct your reality, your perception, according to those words. And your mind will structure a literal picture world. The world of pictures isn't there in any way, shape, or form that you see it. That's all done by the mind. And so the mind will show up presenting you with the story of, this is the reason you're upset. So when I tell my mind that I'm upset because this, that, they, them, this, whatever happened, I'm telling my mind to show me a lie, and my perception can in fact show me only evidence consistent with the lie. So when my mind develops a construct based in a lie, a construct that is a lie, then I tell myself that my mind's lie is truth. So I have this 9-bit space filled with a lie, and I call that lie the truth. I'm really upset because you did that. I'm now living in blockage of truth. I've filled the 9-bit space where there is room for information to show up. I filled it with a lie, call it the truth, and now truth has to bounce off of my mind. You will notice if you've been through a particular painful reality 87 different times with 42 different people, you're the only one that was there every time. Your reality structure, your perceptual constructs, always come from your mind. So when my mind's showing me that you're the cause, I'm living in blockage of truth, and my mind is now impervious to truth. And that's where most people live. The truth is, if you are in a particular form of upset, you're in a particular form of upset, whatever it is, rage, sadness, grief, hatred, vengeance, whatever it is, you're in that form of upset because it's in you. not because something happened in your world. Notice if you've been the object of someone else's upset, the slightest little thing, how many of you have ever said those words? The slightest little thing will set him or her off. What does that mean? That means that that individual, the him or her that we're referring to, has this content based in pain or trauma, whatever it is that's true for them, upset of whatever quality it is, and it's just below the surface. So anything that's said or done can trigger it into activity. And that individual will say that they're upset because of the activity, not because there's upset in their minds. When we start to shift our story, oh, I'm in this form of upset again because this form of upset is in my mind, I can start to get my mind closer to telling me the truth. And when I get closer to telling myself the truth, when I give my mind permission to show me the truth, I will begin to see the underlying energies with which my upset is caused. And when I see that, I mean, all I need is a peek at it. And when I get to peek at it in the presence of active love, then the upset begins to dissolve and disappear. Now I can be in the same circumstance that yesterday I said really upset me, and I can be at perfect peace. It doesn't mean I have to like what happened. Doesn't mean I approve of what happened. It might mean that I pick up the phone and call the police about what happened if it was something illegal. But I don't have to be an upset over it. And the reason why that's such an important piece of information is because whenever there is upset in perception, there is a physiological disturbance in tissue. There is a dis-ease process happening in tissue whenever there is a disturbance in one's perceptual construct, and vice versa. Each are flip sides of exactly the same coin. So it behooves me to choose to engage in removing the root of my upset, which means in order to consistently, persistently do that, I'm going to have to enter into forgiveness. And people say, well, but there's no reason for me to let them off the hook because of what they did. And I said, you know, I'm with you. I agree with you. Don't ever forgive them. Don't ever forgive anybody. Don't ever forgive yourself. If somebody does something that's really off the wall and improper, you may choose to pardon them if that's appropriate or not. And then, once you start telling yourself the truth, oh, I'm an upset because there's an upset in me, then you can begin to work on deleting your upset, literally deleting the issue that is creating disturbance in tissue. And guess what happens? So-called physical diseases begin to disappear. The removal of disintegrative energy from tissue that shows up as pained perception means that it's going to get easier and easier and easier for me to collapse my pained perception, and the tissue in which that disturbing energy is stored is going to get healthier and healthier and healthier as I remove the disturbance from the tissue. So whether I'm looking at someone's pain perception or I'm looking at their horrible so-called physical disease, I'm looking at exactly the same thing. And there is no circumstance in the world that requires me to be in a diseased condition. In fact, the more traumatic, the more dastardly the external circumstance becomes, the more important it is for me to remain connected to the truth of who I am as love. And the more important it is for me to remove those disturbing energies so that I have the highest levels of intelligence possible. Now, they've shown in research that when people are in upset and disturbance, in fear especially, that higher cortical functions, the higher capacities of the human brain are just not available. They shut down. In fact, whole systems of the so-called body shut down when fear becomes active. And not only are we physically limited, but we're mentally and intellectually limited. So whatever the circumstance is, if I can bring forward active present love, in many cases, the situation that seems to be disturbing is going to shift and change, and the content of my mind is going to change. And I'm going to start to move in a direction of liberty from that particular construct. The world calls that process healing. Sadly, because you can hide those dis-ease processes from yourself by using certain substances, the world has become or begun to call the administration of a toxic poison substance that causes diseases but eradicates a certain set of disturbing symptoms, they've started to call that healing. In fact, I don't know how to estimate, probably, depending on the physician you're dealing with, but probably somewhere between 60 and 90% of what's called healthcare. Maybe I should say 40 and 90% of what's called healthcare is actually disease care. And in order to really truly move into health, one of the most important things you can do is study what the cause of health is. Study of the cause of health will be far, far more profitable than the study of the cause of disease will ever be, unless, I guess, you're a pharmaceutical company and then you go making billions off of these toxic substances. Some people are kind of insulted when I talk about the pharmaceutical industry like that, but I invite you to just do a little research and take a look at all the big ones. I mean, get online, take a look, and look at the millions of dollars that they've paid in fines for criminal actions. I mean, millions and millions and millions of dollars. But those things are effectively kept out of sight, so people tend to hold those industries in a level of esteem that they do not deserve at all. So we want to replace, I should not say replace. We want to parallel treatment, you know. If a drug has been discovered that causes a certain set of symptoms to become suppressed, to shut down and disappear, and especially if those symptoms are extremely traumatic or life-threatening, it can be a good thing to shut them down. That's called treatment. Just recall that most treatment happens with a substance that is a disease disguised as a cure. You know, if those things were not diseases, they would not have pamphlets inside of them that list all of the so-called side effects. And they're really not side effects. They're just simply causes. They are disease processes. If you had something that was truly healing, everything on the label would say, oh, upgrades breathing, upgrades oxygen utilization, upgrades blood quality, upgrades skin, upgrades hair, upgrades bowel function, upgrades urinary function, upgrades digestion, strengthens the brain, strengthens the eyes, strengthens the liver. Every one of them, that's what they'd say. Guess what? None of them say that. None of them. Why? Because they are all diseases disguised as cures. Again, not saying that's a terrible thing. Just if you know it and you get yourself in a crisis situation where some sort of emergency suppression is necessary, have at it, go for it. I mean, it can literally save your life. It can't heal your life. Nobody's ever been healed by a drug, but it can save your life. And that gives you time to do the work of healing, to get to the space of safety, and to process through whatever the dis-ease energy is about. Unless you keep telling yourself the lie that you're upset because something outside of you caused your upset. Remember our definition of denial. Whenever I think or speak as though something outside of me is the cause of something moving inside of me, I'm in denial. When I'm in denial, the content in my mind that would show me the truth, I have to hide from myself. We call the hiding of truth from yourself, you know, like I've been through this 87 different times with 42 different people, so it obviously isn't Bill or Harry or Mary or Hortense that did it to me. It's me, and undo my blockage of truth. And that happens when you collapse the perception based in a lie. Now, you'll notice that what first century Aramaic forgiveness does is it collapses perception. And with perception collapsed, there's room for truth to show up. And first and foremost, that's what we're here to support. The recognition, true. Yep, I've been through this painful reality 87 different times with 42 different people. Maybe it's time for me to dump it instead of do it again and again and again. If you're not using the forgiveness process, you can go to our website, whyagain.org. That's the first word of the title of my book and the last word, whyagain.org. And right there on the website, you can engage in filling out the worksheet and doing the forgiveness process. You can go to a link that says print worksheets, and you can print the worksheets off for yourself and use them for yourself at home. You can also go to your app store on your phone and just type in the words Heartland, all one word, H-E-A-R-T-L-A-N-D, Aramaic, A-R-A-M-A-I-C, forgiveness. When you type that in, you'll be looking at the world's first forgiveness app. It's free to download. It's free to use. It's extremely private. If you take a look at the permissions, we only ask one, and that is for the program to be able to use the internet in order to function. Once you start utilizing the program, if you choose to print off, once you complete a worksheet, if you choose to print it off, print a PDF of it, your phone will ask for permission to use the storage on your device, and it will store that worksheet for you. Otherwise, there are no other permissions on the phone. It was specifically and purposely designed so that there were minimal permissions and you could be assured of maximal privacy. So that worksheet's available in many different forms. There are at least 20 different radio shows on the website. Pardon me, we're either Dr. Kim or I or Jeannie have walked someone through the forgiveness process. Pardon me. And those archives can be listened to, and each of the 20 or so different shows has a different flavor, a different reflection, a different question, a different slant, a different person going in a different direction, asking questions that are all relative to the forgiveness process. So if you really want to take that and learn the nuances of the worksheet, there's one of the best places in the world to do it. And we're going to cover a worksheet at 4:30, as Jeannie said, on a Zoom call with a book study club in England. And so if you want to join us at 4:30, you can go to the website and you'll find a link to the Zoom call, or you can go to the notes from today. I'm sure Jeannie probably already has it in there, and I'm just looking it up now. This is 4:30 Eastern Time, which is 8:30 in London, England. And just one second, I'm just scrolling through looking for, here it is. The meeting ID, if you just go into the Zoom app, pardon me, the meeting ID is 974-4442-4565. So the meeting ID, if you just go, you know, download the Zoom app and type in meeting ID 974-4442-4565. And that will also ask you for a passcode. And the passcode is 54321.
And Michael,
you tap into that? Yes, Jeannie.
Yinka's actually in the chat room, and they changed time this coming Sunday. So for today, it's 3:30. But then starting next week, it's back to 4:30 again.
Oh, man. Wait a minute. Today is 3:30? No, next week it's 3:30. Today it's 4:30.
Correct.
We moved. They
I said
didn't.
That backwards.
So today at 4:30 Eastern Time is that show. And then you guys go on Daylight Savings. Boy, talk about keeping things complicated. How crazy is that? Anyway,
yeah,
Yinka, delighted
they moved
that you're there.
On Sunday.
I didn't realize there were different places in the world where they changed times on a different date than, brother, let's keep it complicated. What fun. In any event, we'll be joining you in just a few hours, Yinka, and looking forward to it. And appreciate the group that we had last study group on the book was fabulous, and looking forward to it. And I think we're going to record today, right? So if we do, then it will be available. We'll make sure that it gets on the website and be available for ongoing study for people. Anything else to share with us, Yinka?
While we're giving her time to type, Bob is also in the chat room, and he's in Australia, and he said, well, it's 3:30 in the morning for him right now. And so it's like, well, we're glad you're an early riser and that you're with us.
Yeah, we haven't heard your name in a while, Bob. Delight to have you there. Hope all is well in your world and things are rocking. And I hope your book is going well.
And Yinka says she's delighted to be here, and there are lots of people looking forward to this afternoon or tonight. And, yes, they're going to record it tonight.
Cool. Sweet. All right. Well, if you're out there in listener land, if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you that we're broadcast through, you can, and you have a question for us, you can call into the show. The call-in number is 563-999-3581, 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you'll be listening to the show directly. And then if you have a question or a comment, if you push 1, that will raise a hand in the control panel. Jeannie will know that you want to talk to us, and we'll be having a conversation. So if you're out there in listener land, how can we support you? What's on your mind? We've got about 30 minutes left, so we've got lots of time for questions, conversation. How can we support you? What's on your mind?
And Bob said he has just written another book called Insights from Beyond Depression. Is that one available yet, Bob?
Powerful. You could just click in, Bob, and we could have a conversation about it. You could tell us a little more about it. In any event, Miss Jeannie, do we have anybody else out there with the hand up yet? Let's have a conversation. Monologue's over. Time for dialogue.
No hands up, and Bob says it'll be available soon. It's not yet.
Oh, cool. So time for dialogue. If you're out there in listener land, how can we support you? What's on your mind? Again, the call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you want to talk to us directly, you do call that number, push 1, and we will be having a conversation.
And was I correct that you're going to cover the worksheet tonight in the book club, right?
We're going to actually see if we can come up with a volunteer. I don't know, maybe Yinka, you want to be the volunteer? Come up with a volunteer, and we'll actually walk through a live worksheet. So we'll be able to put that on the on the website, too.
We have a hand up. I think that's Mike.
Cool, let's say
Bob.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello there. How are you?
Well, hey there, young man. I am well. How are you?
Absolutely awesome, my brother. Absolutely awesome. Yeah. Yeah, life's going really well. My creativity knows no bounds. It's since I got my first book published, that was like a blockage until I got it published. It was like blocking the dam. And now that the
right.
first book is published, it's opened the floodgates for, it's hard for me now to stop writing. It's really good. And my network, I never knew that I could write. I knew I could sing and play the guitar and stuff, but,
right.
Yeah. It's like I found my passion and, I'm on a mission, a personal mission, to eradicate suicide because I know it's doable. Because, I'm living proof of that. So that's my mission. And I found a beautiful guy called Mark Atwood, who's probably the world's expert on digital marketing, and he's also a publisher. So, you know, I came across him synchronistically, and he's helping me with publishing my books and also for me to establish, like, workshops and seminars and stuff where I can share the tools that I've learned and just show the people that, you know, why is depression and suicide on the increase? Because people don't believe them in themselves anymore. They lost that belief in themselves. And, how can I put it? It may sound like a bombshell to most people, but for me, there is no such thing as mental illness. It's nothing to do with the mind. It's a wound of the soul. It's more like a broken heart than this bullshit about a chemical imbalance in the brain.
Right.
And,
yeah, nobody's ever proven this kind of fancy chemical imbalance.
Yeah, there's no scientific data to support that. What I'm interested in at the moment is this period in time between 1850 and 1900 when so many of our current corruptions were crystallized, like it was the birth of psychiatry and the birth of the global banking system and the birth of the pharmaceutical industry. It's a very interesting time. And at that time, at the birth of psychiatry, you know, like if you were an unwed mother, you were considered insane. So you got locked up for life in Bedlam for being an unwed mother. Also, if you were homosexual, you know. And so every year these psychiatrists just get together and in their DSM just come up with more fictional mental illnesses, and it's all bullshit, it's all lies. But now that we have the name of the beast, and the name of the beast is a wound of the soul and not mental illness, now that I've named the beast, then we've got something to work with to starve the beast, get rid of the beast.
Yeah, we'll wake up to the truth of who we are and start to live as an out of the truth of being rather than out of these false thoughts, these thought disorders of, you know, what's wrong with me, et cetera, et cetera. Once we start to get rid of those messages and step into the truth of who we are, everything changes. It's just, it's a whole different game for sure.
Yeah, it was only when I moved out of headspace into heartspace that I realized how foolish I had been. I think the biggest killer on the planet at the moment, and has been since the 1900s, is programming. People are living their programmings. Well, they're not living their programmings. Their programmings are killing them.
Yeah.
So
brainwash.
If you get, you get out of headspace and into heart space, life is simple. And it is a funny one. I caught on the radio station today, oh, come here and bring your dog to train him in obedience and blah, 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 blah. And I suddenly had this realization that I'm not here to train my dog. My dog is here to train me. You know, my dog lives in the now all the time. So he's training me, not the other way around.
Very cool. Well, I'm glad things are moving well in your direction, sir.
Yeah, it's the angels are looking after me. I think it's just, I've only got three words in my life, Michael, like my signposts. And the first one is integrity, because without personal integrity, the magic just couldn't happen, for me anyway. And then the second word is KISS, the KISS principle, keep it simple, sovereign. And then the third word is my SUE principle, S-U-E, which is all are sovereign, unique, and equal, and everything else flows from that. And then, just following those, my life is absolutely magnificent. So thank you, brother.
Fabulous. All right, my friend, you have a blessed one. Okay,
yeah,
take care. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Waking up, you know, there's a chapter in Why Is This Happening to Me Again, Waking Up from the Has-Been. And the has-been is just a mind filled with thoughts of that are based in disordered thinking. And once those thoughts are removed, forgiven, remember the word forgiveness means removal, then they can no longer run your life. And many people are addicted to that type of thinking and to the belief that they are what the power person told them they are. And what we're inviting everyone to do is to just begin to question that. And when you come across a thought that in your physiology produces a dis-ease condition, you throw it out. You get rid of it. You just don't play with it. You don't buy it anymore. And you step into the truth of who you are as a human being. And, of course, the question we ask over and over and over again is, remember the time that you held a newborn child and you tap into the essence of that newborn and notice that the essence of the newborn is love. That the newborn isn't loving you, but the newborn is love. And the specialty of the world is to knock awareness of that out of us and to teach us something that's a lie about ourselves. And when people buy into that, then that becomes their state of mind and state of function. And you know, probably the greatest atrocity done to us as human beings down through the ages, and that we've bought into, is that we've had hidden from ourselves the fact that by nature we are creators. Each of us is a creative being. And of course, that's an idea that everybody loves when their creation is going well. But when the creation isn't going so well, doesn't everybody have somebody to blame it on? And isn't their name always them? Look what they're doing to me. And we're here to support each person discovering themselves as a creator and then fulfilling their destiny as creators, living in the truth of who we are. And when you hold that newborn, if you tap into the love that's there, you realize that the newborn is not loving you, but that the newborn is love. And you start to realize that's the true nature of each and every one of us. How have we fallen so far from that in our culture? Who knows? But so many people have bought into it. And forgiveness is about removing the buy-in. Forgiveness is about removing the energetic patterns that keep us stuck in what are oftentimes generational and or cultural patterns of thinking. So if you have a specific thought, question, an issue you're working on, something you need some support with, if you push one, we'll be having a conversation. Let's say hello.
I am I get an email every day from Diedrich Wolsack. He has a thing called Choose Again, and he just sends out, you know, a thought for the day. And the one for today was, who am I? And then he quotes Meister Eckhart, there's a place in the soul where you've never been wounded. And then Diedrich adds to that, and that is the answer to the question, who am I? I am that unchangeable innocence that has never been wounded. That kind of goes along with what you're talking about.
Perfect. Right on track. Absolutely. And it's time for us to give up. You know, the whole idea, the ancient fall from grace, really can be seen as exactly what you just said, that we fall into identification with these thoughts about self that aren't true. And we displace the true self by thinking a certain way about ourselves. And then, of course, our thinking produces experiences. And those experiences, because our thinking is out of alignment with love, are off base with love, and people end up getting stuck in those cycles of thinking. So the return to the truth of being the thinker that is clean of all past thoughts, of all past identifications, and returning to the truth of who we are. Day before yesterday, we touched into the reason why people become addicted. In particular, we talked about alcohol, but anything can be used to avoid feeling what's going on inside of us and or to avoid following our highest guidance. You know, addiction can be a way of avoiding experiencing self as who we are. And anything can be used addictively. When I realize that, then I can begin to embrace directly and truly whatever is within me or within another. And when I can embrace it directly and truly, if there's something that is pained about that state of mind, then because love is conscious, active, and present, the pain begins its dissolution. And it is the dissolution of pain that is first century Aramaic forgiveness. So how does that resonate for you? What's that bring up for you? If you have a thought for us, our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Push 1.
And we have a hand up.
Oh, great. Let's say hello.
I believe it's Dusty904. You're on the air.
Well, aloha, everybody. I hope you're all well.
Aloha. Welcome. I'm rocking.
Yeah,
how about you?
I'm rolling and I'm almost rocking. And so, yeah, it's all good. And
good.
I was thinking, hey, Bob, your program must be working because I haven't killed myself yet today. So we're good there.
Yeah.
And, a very modest attempt at levity that was. You know, while you were talking, I hear the word power person a lot, and it occurs to
yes.
me that this culture, just about any culture, is a form of a very dynamic, compelling power person in a way. And what do you think about that?
Well, if we had cultures that were based in love, there would be no such thing as a power person, because one of the things that allows us to understand the dynamic of the power person is that, or the main feature of the individual that becomes the power person for an individual, is that they were not functioning as love. And so if we were functioning out of the truth of who we are, I'm thinking about, and with having just talked to Bob, a movie, what's the name of it?
Give me an idea.
The Aboriginals lived in, they portray this Aboriginal culture in Australia just so sweetly and without violence and basically without things. And one day an airplane flies overhead.
God, must be crazy.
The gods must be crazy. That's it. And the title of it comes from the Aboriginals who found this Coke bottle that was thrown out of an airplane window and thought it was wonderful because they had nothing in it in the culture like that. But after a short period of time, when they realized they only had one of them, there was a shortage and it became the source of conflict and the insanity that ensued for greed, for the desire for something that somebody else had. But the portrayal of the way they dealt with their children and such was just out of pure being. And so there would not be a power person dynamic there, but pretty much the rest of the world's become trapped in it. You're right on target there.
Yes, and as far as I can tell, it really, from the first, quote, civilizations, unquote, the hunter-gatherers, we as hunter-gatherers who have supposedly have the same brain hardware for the last 200,000 years, we're doing pretty fine. We start with this civilization thing, and now people kind of have to toe the line. And you can just look at, you know, ancient Rome or Greece and just see that everybody, so many people were caught up in that mindset. There's a few more or less indigenous peoples that are, probably keep things pretty clean, but I can't think of any major culture that isn't really a demanding power person, because then you've got everybody around you kind of locked into a mindset, and they kind of expect you to be that way too. And it doesn't allow much for freedom of expression. And there's a saying that the spirit of the law liveth, and the letter of the law killeth. And I think with culture, we get so much caught up in that letter of the law. And I can see it in this town. I mean, just people are in a particular particular mindset that in a way isn't really serving them, us, I'll say, us as a soul, and it's, I don't know, I find it kind of sad, and it distances us from each other. That French expression, laissez-faire, you know, leave them alone, in other words, yay, difference. Yay for the differences. How wonderful, you know, as long as it's not a cruel difference. But some cultures get to the point where unless you're filthy rich or awfully good looking, you're not really supposed to step out of that sameness. And energetically, I find it to be a demanding power person, taskmaster.
And when internalized, say again, I was just going to say, when that power person dynamic is internalized, then the power person can disappear and one does the whole routine to themselves. The mind just replicates that that dynamic until forgiven.
Exactly. And if we have, let's say we have a mean stepdad that beats us like a dog, we've been abused, but if you're in this culture, like, and you're kind of doing well by its standards, you don't ever look at that that part of it, which is a taskmaster.
Right.
I found when I was playing my horn on the beach that some of the most delightful people in the world that would come up were Europeans. They thought it was wonderful that someone was playing, you know, music on the beach at sundown. And
right.
And so many of the folks, the rest of the folks, I'm not everybody, and I don't want to generalize this too much, but they'd have their earbuds in, they wouldn't hear the ocean, they wouldn't hear the horn, or they wouldn't, you know what I mean? They weren't present in the same way. And I found some of these Europeans to be quite delightful in that they got delight from the music on the beach, which is not a not typical. I mean, it happens, but it's not typical. And so I worry about, I don't really worry, but I feel every day that I'm dealing with the miasma of the collective mindset, good and bad, but that there's a lot of it that's just not working for people. Like friend I talked to you about, it's out front part. And anyways, power, the idea of a power person, that's kind of it. I found an analogy in that for me that seems to make
right.
sense.
Yes. And for anybody who's listening who's not familiar with the power person dynamic, there are three basic elements that go into instilling, or we could even say installing, a power person dynamic in someone's mind. First condition is that the person who's going to represent the power person is not functioning as a human being, is not functioning as love. Second, they have more power over your life than you do. And third, if those two first conditions are met and the object of the situation perceives it as survival, then that energy field, that individual's energy field is going to open wide and become just like a sponge and absorb everything from that's going on in the environment into itself. And it will regurgitate literally the words, the thought patterns, right down to almost the voice of the power person. And the individual will think it's their own voice talking. And that whole dynamic is just such an aberration and simply needs to be removed, simply needs forgiveness.
Oh, yeah.
And it runs the world.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think most people really, relative to the culture and how you're raised and all that, I mean, everybody's got nice moments and nice memories, but along the way that rules people in ways. I mean, I look around sometimes and I see people I know that are completely locked in to the cultural power person, and your 3 points seem to be analogous to some of what I'm seeing and feel. I mean, I can just feel it in the air. And it's a brave, or a motivated person to be able to really step outside of that enough that they can see it for what it is and then operate even better.
Definitely requires some serious motivation and tools. You know, the tools to step outside of it. You know, the tools that are often used in families are those of fear and manipulation and, you know, degradation and control. And if they're the tools that someone's used to having used on them, they're the tools that they'll turn around and use on others. And where in the face of their power person, they did not feel safe when they opened up their field and took on all of the energetic dynamics of their power person, then a day, a week, a month, or 50 years later, they start to re-radiate exactly the same energies that they took on from the power person. And they, you know, quite literally in behavior become the worst of their power person. And so the whole idea of the tool of forgiveness from the first century Aramaic is literally how to collapse the perceptual constructs of the mind that keep us thinking that's normal, get to the underlying energy and remove it. So that's, you know, in a nutshell, what we're here to do, what we're here to share with people is the tools for doing that.
I'm in the queue, but I'm not being heard.
Say it again, Dusty.
You dropped off the switchboard for a little bit, but you're back on now.
Oh, good. Yes, and
okay,
I know you're
back.
About
We've got about 90 seconds.
Too. Right, and my signal just went away right in the middle of things, but I heard what you were saying, and yeah, and it's a fine dance. It's a little like moving through a minefield, and it's I mean, there's joy in everything, but being present, whether you're a dog or not, it's not bad. So, at any rate, I had some other thoughts, but I know we're about out of time. So I thank you and Jeannie. And Jeannie, I'm still mind boggled at how much you do with the internet and all of this. Your website is so clean.
Thank you.
And yeah, oh, it's beautiful. So
yay,
thank you. Both.
I'm with you on that one, Dusty. All right, my friend. Well, maybe we can continue with some of those other thoughts tomorrow, Dusty. In the meantime, everybody, create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. It's a gift the world needs. It's a gift you can give. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.